When tattoos first emerged in the 1800s, they were considered a sign of being criminal or deviant. There was a time when most people thought that tattoos were embraced only by merchant marines, bikers, and goths garbed in black. Now they are so much a part of mainstream culture all around the world. Body adornment has thankfully lost its marginal status and acquired a whole other level of coolness, glamour, and deeper meaning. It is, after all, a most complex art form that is respected when it is mastered. And I consider my guests today as masters of their craft. Charlie Lund and Joss Marks are the founders of Prana Tattoo, an exclusive private studio in Darlinghurst here in Sydney, New South Wales, where Charlie specialises in fine realism black and grey tattoo, while Josh has his established signature style of detailed ornamental work focused on mesmerising, symmetric and intricacy. Both styles are reflective of their art practices and their personalities. I believe that it is this consistent evolution of their own personal development journey, as well as the integrity behind their work ethic, that keeps Prana Tattoo ahead of the curve as they continue to make waves in their industry while honing their craft. I consider both Charlie and Josh as fellow spiritual entrepreneurs. They have endured and overcome incredibly difficult childhoods to walk the walk through their own rite of passage to become the beautiful, evolved humans that they are today. And I resonate when they tell me that they look back at their upbringing and see it as their training. Self-mastery and self-leadership is the name of their game. And like me, inner peace is their destination. Joy is their GPS. And our dinner conversations are as joyful, authentic, and as anti-ordinary as it gets, spanning a wide aperture of topics including spirituality, self-compassion, self-love, self-healing, shamanism, surfing, art, childhood trauma, the benevolent universe, navigating relationships during COVID, quantum physics, and even psychic communication with lonely kitty cats on the other side of the globe. It is my delight to share today's conversation with Per with two absolute hotties, Charlie Lund and Josh Marks.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you.
Where's Charlie? There's Charlie. Welcome, babe. Take a seat, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I understand that you've already had some tiger purr this morning.
We have.
Some more.
Thank you.
Tiger purr for our conversation with
Per. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Oh, the smell.
Gorgeous. I know, it smells so divine. Josh could smell it the second that we opened the opened the canister this morning. He was like in the shower and he's like, oh yes.
When I make it in my apartment block, we can smell it from upstairs.
Mm. So good.
Welcome, guys, and congratulations on all your success with Prana Tattoo.
Thank you.
How long have you guys been in business for now?
It would have just ticked over a year now.
Yeah.
In November. As Prana. End of November.
Yeah. Yeah. Prior to that, they're obviously tattooing at other parlours and stuff, but
yep.
Prana's just turned one.
Yay.
Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah. So good. So, guys, I wanted to start from the beginning so that our listeners can get a deep insight into how amazing you both are. So you both grew up in the eastern suburbs.
Yes.
What was life like growing up?
For the most of it, it was challenging.
How so?
In terms with, look, I mean, we were both born in beautiful areas. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. So you were born in?
I was born in Clare Valley and Josh is in Coogee.
I was in Coogee, but then moved to the North Shore and then back.
And we both, definitely encountered a lot of adversity with our fathers.
Yes.
However, in retrospect, like, you just look back and you definitely see that they're your greatest teachers and, there's nothing that you're not appreciative for, but at the time, you know, it's a real struggle and it's so difficult to move through those motions and growing up. And I mean,
definitely
for you, so much massively like abandonment, I guess.
I'd say that for sure.
Abandoned by both parents or?
No, my mum and dad, definitely.
Yep.
She's been there forever. Nothing but supportive.
Yeah. Your mum is a superstar.
She's incredible, to say the least. Yeah. I've learned so much from the women in my life, my nan as well, who obviously sadly isn't with us, but yeah, very grateful to have them.
Yeah. I think that's a huge connection to that, like, divine feminine that you have, actually, is having that perfect balance of masculine and feminine.
It's true. Yeah. I love that about you, Josh. You have a beautiful balance of masculinity and femininity, which I believe is what true divine masculinity is all about.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Having both.
Yeah.
And totally. So you moved a lot?
Yes, moved a lot. I was in and out of home quite young. I believe I was out of home first when I was like 16, and then back again, and then out again and back again, and living between, you know, other people's houses. And then also at one stage I actually lived with my grandmother when she was dying of cancer, which was, you know, super difficult for me to be subjected to.
How old were you?
Then at that age I was just prior to 18, I believe. And then I stayed until she passed, and then my grandfather left and I was in that house by myself. That alone, along with a lot of other things, was definitely hugely confronting, like watching someone. Like, she was like very much so that maternal mother figure, where my mom needed that guidance through a lot of the abuse and, you know, drug issues and everything that my dad projected onto the family. And she was like the matriarch, you know. And once, and once she was gone, it sort of all just, definitely fell apart and crumbled. Yeah.
Thank you to the strong women in both your families.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
So, Charlie, if your mum or either of your parents would describe your personality now, what would they say?
I think they definitely say courageous, determined, very determined. I'd like to say inspired, because not like inspired. You know, I hope to inspire people, but I believe I am inspired. Like, I'm always inspired to, you know, progress and learn something new. And the determination of, like, reaching goals. Like, it's hilarious. When we first met each other, I was like, this is what we're going to do. And this is that.
Is there competition between the two of you?
Highly competitive. No, I think we push each other to be our better versions of ourselves, definitely.
I love that.
There's never any competition.
Never. I think we're like one anyway.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like we want each other to win.
To be in the best possible way ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about you, Josh? What would your parents, how would they describe you, your personality?
They describe me. Definitely a changed person from when I was younger, I would say, for sure.
Yeah.
That I've gone and done a lot of things that probably. Like, I've changed career paths, and that's taken a lot of guts and determination to do that.
What was your first job?
My first job, well, before tattooing. I've done a few, but I was a carpenter before tattooing.
Yep.
And that was a massive career change. Even though I've done art my whole life, it was just learning from one trade and then completely changing and learning another one was a massive change.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best thing that I've ever done with the support and help from beautiful Charlie.
But before I met you, you were like, you did landscaping, you built on boats.
Yeah, so really good with your hands.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anything with my hands and outdoors, I loved.
Yeah. I think your mum would be so proud of you.
Yeah.
She'd be so proud of you. Yeah.
So this is a question for both of you. How do you think your upbringing has influenced your career path today?
I think it's definitely helped express and help us tap into and channel, like, who we are.
Definitely.
I think our art is so honest. Like, it comes from a really
pure
place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that actually both of us were gifted our, like, artistic selves from our fathers, interestingly.
No, my mother, I reckon.
Was she?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When did you realise you had this gift?
There were photos, I don't remember, but Mum had handed me all different colours and a piece of paper and a paintbrush, and she was trying to find out what my favourite colour was, but I chose every colour and started painting with every colour.
Oh, and wow. I didn't even know that.
Even to this day, I don't have a favourite colour. I love all colours.
Yes.
Which is strange, but... I don't have a favourite
color. How old were you, Josh?
I can't remember. I just saw photos.
Yes?
Yes.
How old do you reckon you look?
Oh, I was very young. I had white blonde hair, so very small.
Yeah, right. Very, very little.
Very little.
I don't know, for me. I think forever, as long as I can remember. Because your dad was an amazing chef.
Yeah.
So I think that translates to art.
Yeah.
My dad was always incredible at sculpting and drawing and could, you know, paint and do everything. So I think that was something that he definitely was encouraging of when I was really, I can remember that. That's something that I hold actually to as, you know, really meaningful and a beautiful, beautiful moments, you know,
yeah.
that amongst the rest, I'm like, I resonate with that. And I have said thank you for that.
Yes.
No. So yeah, I really, I value that so much.
I think it's so important to not see ourselves as victims, hey?
Absolutely. Oh, no. Yeah.
If anything, you use it for your learning.
And, yeah.
And you become the person you are.
And yeah. see ourselves as beneficiaries.
It's your, it's your power. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I think without that, we wouldn't be who we are today. No. You know? So very grateful for
I don't think either of us have, like, actually reflected ever on, you know, the childhood experiences or what, or, you know, those sort of stages of real, you know, what you would term trauma now. In that time, it was, you know, massively huge struggle and definitely even through, you know, teenagehood and early 20s. But when you look back at it, I don't think that I would ever necessarily attach myself to that as, you know, broken or something that was in a negative light. It's like you reflect back on it as, yeah, this power that you endured and that you survived and that you grew through, and what did you, you know, bloom out of that from, and all of those sort of evolutions, as opposed to, you know, these dark points where you can't survive. Like, anything gives you, you know, or births to something powerful or yeah. great or amazing.
We all have a choice.
Yeah.
We all have a choice. That's we choose to be victim or yeah. we exactly. choose to be benefactors of it. You can go one way or the
other. Absolutely, yeah.
We've 100%. All made that choice.
Yeah.
I think the art of tattoo is such a beautiful window into the psyche of a person.
Totally. Definitely.
Into how they think from their art.
Yep.
I think it's a real opportunity to have a look into the core of one's self-identity.
100%. Oh, completely. Absolutely.
I remember over dinner, Josh, you said that when you were still in pain emotionally, mentally and spiritually, the physical pain of tattooing
yeah.
wasn't as painful for you.
As a way but of
now
release.
That you are in a more peaceful state on your healing journey,
yeah.
the physical pain is just a little bit more. Can oh, you yeah. speak to that? Because I totally resonate. I totally resonate.
Definitely way worse now that I've processed a lot of the things and gotten everything out.
Like, why do you think that is?
I'm not too sure. You don't have many things to think about now these days. I'm just so happy and content with who I am and what I have.
You don't have anything to channel out, right?
Exactly, and nothing to focus on. So yeah. I'm there just... Charlie says you should try and meditate throughout tattoos. And I'm like, it's a lot easier to say than do. I'm trying, but it's not working.
You're still so strong, though. It's not like yeah, he doesn't move around a whinge or anything like that, but it's funny. It's
definitely more painful yeah. than
as what opposed was. To you sit there and it's almost like... another part of yourself is enduring the pain.
Yeah,
like if
yeah.
you're surrendering you're and going through something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're just at peace that you're just like, nah, I can feel this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. It is a very meditative experience.
Totally.
It is.
Yeah. Definitely. It's primal, you know? Yeah. It's intrinsic. It's like...
Even when you're doing it, I think. As absolutely. Well, like tattooing.
Yeah.
You go into some sort of trance in some states. I feel when I'm tattooing as well, I get like a surge of energy you sometimes, do, yeah. just yeah. like a buzz.
Yeah. yeah, it'll definitely have to do with the energy transference from yeah, the client
the exchange and to yourself. Absolutely, yeah.
So, Charlie, you speak to being an empath and taking on a lot of other people's yes. pain.
Yeah.
I believe that tattooing is not just about body adornment, it's mm. also an incredibly healing process.
Oh, completely.
Incredibly healing.
Yeah.
And you speak to your work being a type of or a kind of therapy.
Oh, completely.
Therapeutic yeah. for not only yourself but also for your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that from the yeah. point of view of being an empath and from someone who, you know, cares very deeply?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's transformative. So I think when people come into our space, I have an energy where I want to open that and allow them to really, you know, purge out what it is that they're going through. And I try to, as we're physically doing the tattoo, it's kind of channeling out that energy. So you find people literally like open up to the point where they're in tears, or their body is so reactive to this emotional transition of, you know, what this art practice is. And I did find for so long in the beginning of my career, I was too open to that. And I would find myself, you know, grieving and crying too. And I'm not to say that I can still share tears with someone now, but I have my boundaries where I don't take this weight on. Whereas before, I used to literally, it would weigh me down, wouldn't it? I would, I would come home and it's like I can feel the gravity of, you know, this woman that lost, you know, her son after the son murdered her father and took his own life, or, you know, someone that went and, you know, had a tragic end to their life with suicide and subjected that to their family, or, you know, people that were sexually abused their, you know, entire life and never told anyone, and then, you know, come and tell me, and, or, you know, things that people have done that I'm like, I don't know if you should have told me that, like, you know, I'm like,
but they are in a very vulnerable position,
totally, and it's a safe space.
It is a safe
place. It is.
And what an incredibly spiritual process.
Oh, totally.
A cathartic one.
Absolutely.
With so much meaning and deeper meaning.
I think it also brings and has brought me a new sense of love for myself, that I can offer something that is, it's outside my body. As much as, of course, you know, the tattoo practice that we, you know, we're giving people the tattoos. But
there's much more.
The exchange. I think that's what it's about.
It's definitely an energy exchange.
Yeah.
And for myself, it's probably the most purest way of doing my art, you know?
Yeah. It's so finite.
Yeah.
And also the incredible amount of trust.
Exactly. Huge. Yeah.
You know, I trust you, and I trust you that you trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So grateful for people that come to us.
Yeah. And with that, and with the pain factor too, you know, people
push through.
Yeah, and but also I think that we really try to read our clients.
Yeah.
And, I mean, one of the most beautiful things, I feel like, you know, Josh has a large amount of women that come and see him, and that makes me feel so proud as a female who has been tattooed, you know, by men before. And I've been in positions where I don't feel comfortable and I don't feel safe and I feel a bit subjected to some weird energy, like I need to be, I don't know, not like, I don't know, I have to present myself in a certain way or be a certain amount of strength. And Josh, you just give such room for these women to feel really safe, and it's okay to be uncomfortable, and you always ask them. It's
important
to,
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I feel
it's,
like,
it's respect as well, you know.
Yeah.
You're so good.
Likewise,
you're so in love. I love it. And you would during COVID, you know, two people who live together and work together, how was that like for you guys?
I reckon it was the best,
Yeah.
It was like a time we could just hang out by ourselves so it was, and didn't have to see anyone, which was awesome.
It's embarrassing to say that because people were like, what do you mean you work together and you live together and you've lived together since you met? And we're like,
that's so amazing. But
COVID was like an extra holiday. It was like, you know, it obviously came with some stresses, like of
every day income. There was emotions.
And we wanted to bloody tattoo and couldn't, you know, that was really hard.
Yeah, having a mortgage as well, which is stressful.
Yeah.
Not having income.
It was funny. The government paid our mortgage, so it was kind of like, you know. You're like, this it is ironic, good. But
grateful accept. For the things we have.
Yeah.
It was,
and for each other.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It was good. It was all around good. We're so blessed, like, because we live in Bondi, so we...
Yes, we're practically neighbours.
Exactly. I know. We literally are. Just so up the road. We just didn't know
I spend most of my days barefoot and semi-naked.
Right. We are the same.
Likewise.
Literally, people, it's funny, though, because sometimes, like, clients see you like that and they're like, oh, and they don't know how to approach you because you're so unclothed, you know? And they're like, oh, like, want to give you a hug, and you're like, oh, this is weird through, like, high skin contact going on. Yeah.
Hug me more, please.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's good, though.
Hey, Josh, what are three things that you love the most about Charlie?
Oh, God. I'd say
definitely. Take your time.
Nah, I know. It's pretty good. Her smile, definitely. Her energy, of course. And her laugh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, babe.
It's like when you laugh, everyone has to laugh. It's crazy. And your smile, so it's
you say my
it's smile. Wild.
I concur. What about you, Charlie? Three things you love most about Josh.
how calm.
Pressure's on.
The calm that he brings to my life. Like, I feel like I've always been very high energy and had this planner attitude, which is a very positive thing.
We balance each other out, I'd say. If you were as calm.
That's a polite way to put it. I think everyone's like, far out, you're a way better person after meeting Josh. Not in the way that I'm a negative person in any way. I'm very positive, but I'm very like, charge, let's go. Which you know, push good. On. And Josh is like, let's enjoy now, babe. Let's come back to now. This is beautiful. We have everything you need. Look at your life, you know. He brings me a lot of reflection. And yeah, he's balanced like that, what I mentioned before. He's that beautiful feminine, masculine side. And to show me that, a man can look as tough and be strong and everything, but be so kind and treat you perfect every day. I have that. I have the perfect guy. They're out there for every woman that needs to hear that. They are.
The perfect girl is too.
I'm so happy for you both. Thank you. My next question, and you can't say, your answer can't be one another.
Okay, right.
Who do you look up to the most, Charlie?
Who do I look up to the most?
That's a really good question.
Far out big question. Who do I look up to the most? Wow. My grandma's passed, but she would definitely be one of them.
Yeah.
A big person that I definitely say that has a strong influence on me and that I look up to what they do would have to be, I don't know, you probably say it too, is Joe Dispenza.
Yeah.
Mm.
After a lot of, I feel like that took a level of our spiritual learning to a new level, which was really powerful.
Yeah.
Because I feel like innately we all have answers ourselves. And there were points where, like you, what you know, shed incredible light on the other night over dinner, we're like, wow, there's a whole other world that we haven't touched yet, you know. Yep. And that, you know, you fall into that bracket too.
I travel the world to learn from Dr. Joe. He's eaten at Red Lantern.
Which is so incredible. I understand why.
The last time it was to travel to Nanaimo in British Columbia.
Wow.
And spent a week with him.
Wow.
That would have been incredible.
It was the Science and Spirituality Conference.
Wow.
And then a week in Vernon with Greg Braden. And I love combining science and spirituality.
You
have to have the science as a bridge to all cultures, right?
Yeah.
And what about you, Josh?
I would say Joe, for sure. Joe Dispenza. I'd say in
he's
some...
A, and he's a dude, right? He's a dude.
Oh, yeah. He is.
He's definitely not from this planet, that's for sure. I'd say in some aspects, my mum, for sure.
Yeah.
Your mum's magic. Your mum's really... Yeah.
I'd say those people.
What would you say as... something that people generally are surprised to find out about you both?
Yeah, wow.
These are good questions.
They are really good questions. No, you're all over it.
Jeez.
Oh, I know.
Beg your pardon? Oh, yes.
That we're sober, that we don't drink alcohol.
Oh, yes.
Drugs. Yeah. That's probably, like... Frequently, like it would have to be
blows
many times
minds,
a week.
Yeah.
People like we get asked for drugs.
I love that because
I've got nothing against it.
You just can't be put in a box.
No,
you know,
yeah.
And just to really defy the stigma that comes with body art and tattoo and
definitely.
All that. My cousins in Paris own San Yuchi and a tattoo studio over there. I lived in Paris for 5 years and those guys are adorned with tattoos and piercings and, you know, they look the part and they are the most respectful, filial, kind, generous, thoughtful people you'd meet.
Absolutely.
But we just have a giggle because we'd walk down the streets of Paris and people would literally cross the road to avoid us.
Yeah.
It just shows. Looks aren't everything, you know. You
it's
can't
like
judge a book by its cover.
And like we're walking with your mum sometimes and people come up to us and ask for drugs and we're like, what? Like, what entitles you to come and ask for drugs? Or we're at the beach and, you know, people need lighters or whatever. We're like, sorry, we don't smoke. And they're like, nah, come on. And we're like... No, we like really don't smoke. We don't vape. We don't smoke. We don't drink. And not in any sort of like ego sense. It's just we, close with that chapter. You know?
Yes.
Like, and that's a really powerful thing. And I think both of us with our the way that we grew up, we were subjected to different things, and I think it started. Definitely.
Started at a young age and finished at a young age.
Absolutely.
Start early, finish early.
Yeah.
I think it's important to look back on our childhood and see it as an anti-model.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
You're learning.
How else will we progress, huh?
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, totally. Well done. How long has it been since you've been sober?
Me will be nearly 6 years. No alcohol. Longer.
Drugs.
No drugs. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I did.
I think alcohol is 3.5 for me.
Yeah.
And drugs.
It'll be longer as well.
Be 5 or 6.
Yeah, yeah. Well done. I'd like to ask you a bit more about your business.
Yes.
So on the topic of, you know, having stigmas challenged and what the societal perception is of tattooing and the body art form. So I'd love to ask you through an evolutionary lens on your business and your industry. In your time, how has it evolved? How has it changed?
Oh, massively.
And how so?
I think it's hugely evolved in terms of the origin. I mean, you know, speaking in a more modern sense, obviously, since tattooing sort of first emerged.
Machines and techniques.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, foremost. Then it's even to the stigmatism, as you say, surrounding who owns the shops as well. That's all changed.
Definitely.
What do you mean by that? As in it's not owned by gangs?
Yeah.
I'd say. Yeah. Who knows these days?
Stood over and...
Yeah.
I think there would unfortunately still be that going on in some areas, but in more of a general sense.
More so about the art these days.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
I think it's safer. There's less association with, because I think it was a real target with the tattoo industry before, because people had a higher, you know, cash business flow. And if people weren't doing necessarily the right thing, then you'd have the wrong crowd come and sort of stand over you and be like, you're going to pay me this much. And they'd push their money through you, which is, you know, pretty scary, really.
Yep.
I mean, we, to avoid any of that anyway, not that, we're straighty 180 with everything. You don't get a mortgage without being completely legit and blah, blah. But we have Prana completely exclusive. We don't even have a sign. We're just a little black door in the wall. And once you're booked in, then you get the address and details. Just to avoid any of that, you know, unwanted attention. But it's definitely a safer industry. It's better for women now, which is a big thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to when I was first definitely getting into it or trying to get into it, there was a lot of, prefer to probably not say, but it can definitely have negative influence on women.
I reckon a lot of women wouldn't have
tattooed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would have left for sure.
Yeah.
I think you guys are both very high frequency, high vibe people, and so when we operate in that space, we tend to repel those of the lower vibration.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And I think you've played it so smart in that you know, you run a very successful business, keeping it exclusive and not going, you know, mainstream, because
it's more intimate that way. And I think, out of respect for the people that come and get tattooed by us, I don't like saying clients, you're focusing your whole attention on them and they're paying you for your time.
Yeah.
I think being in like a walk-in sort of environment or having to stop and start every now and then and not being in that intimate sort of space with them the whole time, showing your whole attention to them, definitely isn't the best.
Yeah, so that focused attention and giving a very bespoke experience.
Totally.
Exactly.
And like you said, very precious. When you get into that zone, Josh gets into this, this like channeled space where I think with your clients and you don't like to break that either. You know, you keep the communication up, but you don't want other people always coming and being like, hey, excuse me, I want to get this tattoo, and then it just kind of derails that whole experience.
It's, I'd say also for the person getting tattooed.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Because stopping and starting, you're like, oh, I was doing so well, but keep stopping.
I also have some clients that, you know, they need like they only get tattooed by women. And they need the
privacy,
you know, the privacy screens, and they need this, so because, you know, men can't see their body in their choice of their religion, whatever that is. And so we ensure that, you know, we also have that space for that too, because I think it can't be exclusively just to anyone that can sit there and anyone can look at an individual. Do you know what I mean? It's like we want it to be that it's if you need a private space, we provide that too. So.
So you guys have both come from adverse beginnings to become beautiful human beings now. I really respect your work ethic.
Thank you.
And I really respect and admire how much you love and praise one another.
Thank you.
That's like way cool. Huh. How has your evolution in this career, being in this industry, transformed you? Transform your spirit, transform who you are, and touching on how it's also transformed with your clients.
Yeah, I think it's sort of kept me more true to myself.
Definitely. Yeah. It's allowed us to definitely tap into ourselves more spiritually. Yeah.
And express
a lot more research
who we are, and in a way that's not necessarily, because it's like I understand, you know, with anything that's about how we look, you know, that can be associated to ego, but as opposed to, I just feel like this is an honest and authentic version of who we are.
This is me.
I feel like our identity has been developed.
I totally resonate. 100%. I was severely muted as growing up as well, and it's all about, you know, self-expression now.
Yeah,
finding you
cannot mute me.
Totally,
and I will not be muted. Yeah. Censored.
Yeah.
And I love that sense of self-expression.
Thank you.
With what you guys do for yourself as well as what you allow.
Yeah, thank you.
So for someone who wants to get into your industry, what would you say are the traits and the qualities that they would need to develop?
You definitely have to have a passion and love for art.
Yeah.
I'd say for myself, I would do it without getting paid. I love it that much.
Yeah.
But obviously the monetary sense does help, and you need money to survive in this world.
Yes.
But I love it that much that I could go do it for free.
Yeah, that's when you know you've got your calling, hey?
Your calling. Yeah. So I think it's just important about developing a portfolio of your style.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing that happens, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I think I even at points fight it, and you can sort of go down these different trajectories and you're like, wait, I've got to, you know, go back to my identity and go back to what's true.
Everyone's to me. Different as well.
So I think coming into the industry, it's a really powerful thing if you have a really strong sense of your artistic identity.
And the direction you want to go.
Because essentially that is, you know, resonating and mirroring a part of yourself. So when you're presenting that, you know, your, you know, soon-to-be mentor or whatever can really take that on, and I hope, you know, honour that and guide that, you know, through to develop more and grow more. Yeah.
Yeah. And as an artist, you don't want to be mimicking someone else. You want to take a little bit of that and a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
And then crafting your own signature style.
Definitely.
It is very unique.
Oh, totally. Uniqueness is key, important with identity, but at the same time I think it's important to acknowledge that as much as, you know, we can always come up with new versions and concepts of things, like most things have been done before in another form.
Yep.
You know, it's the same way, you know, with food, you're creating these new nuances or these new, you know, layers to it. It's I believe it's the same with tattooing. So the pressure can be on some people that feel like it's like, oh, you know, I'm inspired by this person and this is how I create this. Like, that's beautiful. Like, be inspired.
Yeah.
Like, you know, use references, do all that, but create your own. Yeah.
I think it's our responsibility to create our own.
Totally.
You know, a question I often get asked is, you know, which shaman did you learn from?
Yeah,
what style have you developed? And it's like, well, I have a whole string of teachers.
Exactly.
And I honour them by taking a little bit of theirs, a little bit of theirs, and a little bit of theirs.
To what you believe in.
And it is actually my responsibility to translate that into what is unique for me.
Definitely.
And that is where new creation comes about versus being so stuck to, you know, I learned from this shaman or this teacher and I only practice that.
Yeah.
How is that pushing forward and developing new ideas and new flavors. Exactly. So I think that's our responsibility to
I
do
think
this.
That's a new level of your own language, right? Yeah. Like, it's like you do come into your own and you're like, this is how I speak all that I learned, you know? Yeah. And I think that's really beautiful. And that's honoring, you know, all the individuals before, but coming into who you are, like now.
As a person, definitely. Yeah,
and having your own language and perspective on it. That's what it is, I guess.
I love that you guys are the, I see it as the new frontier of body art. Mm, you know, going from stigma to status to spirituality.
Thank you.
Yeah. It is definitely a spiritual craft, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, past cultures, it was all spiritual practice.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's good that it looks like it's coming back to that in some senses.
Totally.
Yeah.
For sure.
It has to. There's so much meaning into it.
Hugely, yeah. Hugely.
It's a massive energy transfer.
Yeah.
It's not just like a walk in, get a tattoo, walk out. There's so much more than that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it feels like that in our space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, each totally. Time. No matter how, and that's the thing, no matter how small or how big,
it doesn't matter.
We put the same into it.
Definitely. Yeah.
And that's really important to us.
As long as that person sees something in it, loves it, and wants it for them, it means so much.
You gotta translate that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, I think it's like, you know, when we go back to even before the first emergence in the, you know, 1880s of, or 1800s of, you know, tattooing, you know, the origin of, you know, our ancestors, right? That did it only purely as ceremony.
Yes.
Mm. And, you know, that was coming of age in Koori. So, in, like, we have Aboriginal in our family and they use scarification and then with the ash and, you know, a lot of that was, like, coming of age for young men or, you know, preparing for war and, you know, all of these beautiful things. And to have this, you know, signature to show strength and power and endurance and I've, you know, stepped up, leveled up or whatever.
And no one would have the same as well.
No.
Yeah, very different. It's your own unique.
Absolutely.
Piece on you.
And then with Fijian, I mean, they ceremonially, like, did that. I think it would probably have to be the same.
It wouldn't be the same as Māori, I don't think.
No. Well, in terms of, I think it, though, it would be significant as some sort of evolution.
There would be something there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, not the same as Maori or
no.
Yeah, or Tongan or Samoan, but there would definitely be strong ceremony.
Oh, for sure.
I think. Yeah,
definitely.
What I'm hearing is this beautiful art, and especially for you guys, that it's gone from traditional practices to what you guys practice now, where it is not just transactional; it is actually transformative.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
what a very precious experience for Prana Tattoo.
Thank you.
So, guys, my last question. Charlie, what makes Charlie purr?
Oh.
Don't say Josh.
No, you can't say Josh.
Because that's already a given.
Other than Tiger purr? just a lust for life, you know what I mean? That's. It's, and I feel like, funnily enough, like having actually, when we had the Tiger purr this morning, I think it gives you like a clarity and like an openness prepared to, you know, set your day and conquer your day.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think Tiger purr as nothing even to do with as a brand, but as what, you know, how uniquely blended it is, how all the nuances in the flavors, how deliberate the process is in your beautiful blessing. Like, I feel like we got that this morning.
Also, that's the first time when someone's answered the question, what makes you purr, then they said tiger purr makes
really?
Me purr.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Wow. Tiger purr makes me purr too.
Yeah, wow. That was it. I thought it was associating that because that was a strong link for that. But,
I'm so addicted to it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful. The
smell and toast is incredible.
What about you, Josh? What makes Josh purr?
Starts with O.
The ocean.
Definitely. I can't live away from the ocean.
No. Yeah, same as me.
Yeah, the ocean,
that.
For sure.
Yeah, that's our last for life.
Charlie, but of course we can't answer
each other. Otherwise, that'll be your answer for the whole podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Josh, who inspires you, Charlie? Josh.
The ocean, I'd say, for sure.
Yeah, the ocean. Bigger than all of us. Humbling.
Yeah.
Put you cleansing. In a spot. Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Invigorating.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
All the
above. All the ionic healing. Charges.
Does yeah, wonders. You need
it.
Yeah,
we go a bit bonkers without it, actually.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. We are 75% water. Yeah. So it's a pool, right?
Oh, yeah. Completely. Yeah, absolutely.
For me, it's sunshine as well.
Yeah.
I've just come back from 6 weeks in the US, and the water is very harsh on my skin.
Yeah.
I've got some eczema on my neck and being on planes and traveling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to heal myself. I can't do any more itchy cream. And so I just stood naked in the sunshine.
Good.
And beautiful. Just got sun. And just did it. And then 2 days gone.
That's it. It is.
Sun's magic.
The power of Mother Earth and Father Sun.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you guys more in Bondi.
Definitely. Yes.
You're both an absolute delight and Thank you. Absolute hotties.
Likewise.
It was so beautiful. All of that, how everything transitioned to meet you, we feel very, very honored.
Yeah, very blessed.
And I wish you all the very best with Prana Tattoo.
Thank you.
And I will see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much. Thank you.